Hello, welcome to Brain Sick. I'm Lydia.
Bum, bum, bum.
Hello, Lita.
I'm Andrew.
And today we are talking about Judy Garland.
Ooh.
Who most likely you know her from The Wizard of Oz. She was Dorothy. There's a lot I didn't know about her, like, at all. I only knew her as, like, Dorothy.
Was she anything else?
Yeah, she was in a lot of films. This is like the 1940s was her prime. So it was kind of before.
I've probably never seen a movie that she's in.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Wizard of Oz, you probably
have not seen Wizard of Oz.
Haven't seen her. But she was a huge deal back then.
You're not Judy Garland. You're just like me. It's like a song lyric in a song that I like. You're My Waterloo by the Libertines. They mentioned Judy Garland.
Yeah. No, she's left quite a legacy for herself. But, what was I going to say? I have to give credit to the Box of Oddities for, they covered, like, a bunch of, like, unknown Hollywood facts. Mm-hmm. And so Jethro included Judy Garland. That's where I got the idea to do her as an episode. So I have to give credit where credit is due.
Also, shout out to Wikipedia.
Exactly.
I don't know if they... I was going to say, contributed to this episode?
They did, entirely.
Okay, well, I just want Wikipedia to know that I, too, want to contribute to them with them giving us a sponsorship. Please email inquiries at BrainSickPodcast.
The BrainSickPodcast.
The BrainSickPodcast.
We wouldn't be opposed.
At gmail.com.
BrainSickPodcast at gmail.com.
No, it's the Brain Sick Podcast.
The Brain
Sick. We have so many iterations. It's really bad.
The Brain Sick Podcast at gmail.com.
Or just go to Brain Sick Podcast.
We have a poll. Do we have a poll? Do we have pre-orders? We have pre-orders.
We have pre-orders. So, okay, we can do this first. I put up a pre-order for our t-shirts on our website.
Cute.
Radish. Radish.
Yeah, it's rad. So if y'all want to go pre-order, I didn't put a date on when pre-order set because I need to know how many to order.
We're going to run it for about a month.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be manufactured. Then they're going to be sent to you. Shipped. Guaranteed.
Yes.
Ship it. So they're $16, not including shipping?
Yeah. But with shipping, it should be like $18.
Oh, well, that's not bad at all.
For a piece of clothing.
Sweetness.
It also does help us out so we can make this as best as we can.
You are supporting
a good cause.
The show. You could also buy the clay pins or the clay mystery boxes. We need to...
That's a box of oddities right there.
Oh, yeah.
We need to put up sampler images of what the actual guys look like because it's just question marks and it feels a little sketchy right now.
Yeah,
I would be kind of sketchy, but they're actually really cute.
They are super cute.
I think people would like
it. I did
them.
A little photo shoot so I can add up that picture to it.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I was also going to say, I was also thinking about making enamel pins, but I need like... 10 people to promise to buy them before it's kind of like worth it to make them.
Yes.
So that would just be like breaking even.
So if you want a pin instead of a shirt, let us know. Send us a message. We are interested in what you have to say about what you think about enamel pins.
Yeah.
Because we have the clay ones, but they would be professionally printed.
Yeah.
Enamel pins.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And... right now we're only doing the shirts. So if you want the shirts, now's the time. But there may be pins if you want those, if you want to wait. Let us know though.
Let us know. Would the enamel pins be the Radiant Radish or the Brain
No,
Sick?
They would be
Brain Sick logo.
Okay,
they'd be like the clay pins.
Okay, perfect. Just enamel.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So they'd be sturdy.
Because I don't think the clay, like, I feel a little bad. I've heard some feedback that they've broken. And I did my best.
Because this way we can digitally do the design and then have them print it. So it'll be very professional. It'll be very nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they'll be hard. They
sturdier
won't break on you.
A good word. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it'd be more of an investment.
It would really be. Yeah. So we need, like, to know that the support is there or else we're just putting more money into it and not getting any
into
return.
This hole.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
This brain hole.
Brain hole.
That's, That's all.
Ooh.
Brain corrupt.
That was really loud laugh.
So we're back on separate mics, so we can just make you quiet again.
Good.
You'll hear, ha-ha. It's like super light.
Yeah, let's hope. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we can talk about Judy, who actually, her name is not Judy Garland
at all.
She was born Frances Ethel Gumm, G-U-M-M. On June 10th. Dad's birthday. I didn't process that. June 10th, 1922.
Gemini.
Grand Rapids, Minnesota. Okay. Her early life. I'm going to try to like fly through this because I wrote a lot of stuff down.
Go for it.
Let's fly with Judy.
Fly.
Spread your wings.
She's Irish, English, and Scottish. Irish, English, Scottish descent.
Woo.
Named after her parents. It was like a morph of
Is her she parents. My grandma?
Maybe. She just Maybe she's all be. Of our grandmas.
Let's hope not.
Oh, yeah.
That'd make things a little awkward between you two.
Yeah.
I'm chilling. Either way. I'm good.
She was called Baby by the family, which is super cute. Her first appearance was at age 2.5 on stage at her father's theater. So her parents were like vaudeville actors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure what that means, but.
Vaudeville. It makes me think of like cabaret. I don't know if that's the correct image to be like conjured into my mind, but kind of that like that style of like music and dance and show.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. Then they went to California in 1926 after rumors of her father making sexual advances toward male ushers.
Oh,
nice.
Oh, gay shit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're
you
like,
gotta go.
You gotta move.
He's like, California, gay capital.
Yeah, I don't really know if the family stayed together or what, but for Judy's early career, I was going to call her Judy because I don't want to have to worry about that.
Miss this is Garland.
Oh, yeah.
The Garland. Yeah, Garland's not a real last name. No. It's like, sorry.
The Gumm sisters had a film debut in The Big Review. Okay.
They could have been the Gumballs.
That's okay. They
people
were boys,
are idiots.
Okay.
People are jerks. They needed to change their name because people were making fun of them. And they were referred to as the Glum sisters. And it was very funny for some reason.
Glum with two M's? Well,
no,
we got a
only
chuckle.
One.
This is kind of funny.
I just put were people need to chill out. I have no idea. So, yeah, that's so for a lot of these, there's a lot of film names that I just decided not to write down because I didn't think they were super important.
Yeah.
So that's just a disclaimer.
We got the greatest hits right here.
Yeah. The Wizard of Oz.
Is there any other big ones?
She also was in an iteration of A Star Is Born.
Oh, that's yeah.
Oh, yeah. Aren't there like five?
Six.
Okay. Six.
I think the most recent one
was
the sixth one. So she was in the second one, so the first remake.
Okay. But no, like, Casablanca or anything.
No. But she was very, very, like, high profile.
Okay.
Okay, so they changed her name. There were lots of different stories as to how Garland became her name, but I didn't write them down because I didn't think it was important. And then she changed her name to Judy. It was inspired by a song. So then
Judy.
Don't make.
See the wizard.
This is before then.
Make it better.
She actually inspired Click the Beatles' hit song, Hey Judy.
Yeah.
Go give it a listen if you haven't heard it before.
To us in New York. What is it like? Is it like a palace?
Oz.
Is it like the castle? Like where does the wizard live in The Wizard of Oz?
The castle.
Okay.
The curtain.
To us in New York castle.
Are you done?
So we can start
going home
to see the wizard. Sorry. Yeah, I'm done. I'm sorry.
It's okay. So.
I'm feeling like it's not.
Judy's song name.
No, we're fine. We're good. She signed with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.
Is that the one with the lion?
The lion.
lion. They're dicks. Just letting you know.
Just like the lion.
Just like the lion. Just like what they've made the Lion King to be.
Oh, don't even. We can't go there. We will not come back. We are too. We can't do this now.
Yeah.
That's okay. For a brain dump.
That is a brain dump. Okay. So there was a guy who came and watched the sisters, the Glum sisters, act. And then they had Judy come in for an impromptu audition. So she went with her dad. They immediately signed her. But at age 13, she was too old to be a child star, but too young to be in adult roles. She was kind of in this middle ground. They didn't know what to do with her.
Yeah. They do now. Huh? I mean, Justin Bieber was like 13.
Oh, so honest. Right? That's not acting, though.
It's show business.
Yeah. Show business, baby.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't know. I just think if there was a 13-year-old star waiting to be made, people would not be waiting.
Disney Channel stars.
Yeah. And, but it is like an awkward age.
Jacob Sartorius.
Oh, it is.
Cause,
and they shouldn't do it. They shouldn't be blowing kids up like they do. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's many reasons for that. But I think because if you're a kid, you can be in kid roles.
Right.
And if you're like 18, you can start doing adult roles. But if you're like in the middle, they didn't have young adult like, section back in the day, I don't think. Yeah.
And also, like, something with the film industry is that they tend not to cast, like, teens for roles because of their, like, extreme fluctuations in, like, size and, like, shape. And, like,
yeah. I mean, the older people are just going to be more experienced.
Yeah, their voices. Yeah, they have less experience. And it's a pretty volatile period of life
already
because of hormones and biology, all other things aside.
So yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't want to work with a
hormonal
preteen.
Tween.
I wouldn't want to. I don't want to ever see a tween again in my life.
You're phased. You're like,
yeah, y'all should have seen.
You didn't know what to do.
I've had bad experiences.
Oh no, my friend was at Goodwill. And some stupid ass like 12 or 13 year olds beat him up.
What?
I don't remember why.
What?
But they like beat on him. And like he didn't deserve that. And he like didn't hit back because he could have probably got their asses, you know?
Yeah.
Little punk
ass.
They
just let them?
Yeah, he just let them.
What?
Why?
Yeah.
I still don't remember. I think he said something because they were like being little dicks. And he was like, hey, stop that. And they were like.
Is this in Davis?
Woodland.
Oh.
Hey. Yeah, I think he was in the Goodwill in Woodland.
Oh, God. I'm sorry.
Love you, Al.
Well.
That's not what Judy was up to.
No, but they had her physical appearance as a problem, quote unquote. She was a tiny gal at 4'11.5". So she had like the cute girl next door kind of vibe. And so they really like latched on to that. And so I think it was the director for her first movie, quote, she was the ugly duckling. I think it had a very damaging effect on her emotionally for a long time. I think it lasted forever, really, unquote. So from the get-go,
baby girl,
it's bad. And
yeah, it affects your...
Your self-esteem and your confidence. Yeah.
Yeah.
And being in that kind of, you know, environment already. And the MGM studio chief called her his little hunchback, which I put, how professional.
Term of endearment. Hello, my little hunchback.
So they really latched onto the girl next door image. So that's how they photographed her and everything. And they had her wear like removable caps on her teeth. Because I guess they weren't good enough. And discs to shape her nose. And then...
What?
Yeah, because I guess her nose, like, wasn't pretty enough. So they just, like, made it look the way they wanted it to.
How does that work?
Like, did they, like, squeeze it and then let go? And they're like, quick, take the picture before her nose
No,
pops
I think they're,
out.
Like, physical, like...
But they're, like, see-through, so you can't...
Probably.
Or
I don't
know. Like, a nighttime treatment, like... Judy, brush your teeth, put on your discs.
Put on your discs, Judy.
You know, I don't know.
Good night.
I'm just curious.
Good night.
I mean, because the picture quality wasn't as good either, mm-hmm. right? So I wonder if they could get away with more.
So if I find a remastered,
zoom in on the
nose. I'm just curious. I'm just curious, like, from a practical effect.
I don't know. You can.
How do you make out. One's nose?
I don't know.
Less nose. You wear like a green nose on top,
and then you just like paste in.
Paste in a smaller nose.
Yeah, the nose of your desire.
So, this is weird because I saw a picture of her when you were doing your research, and she seemed like a good-looking lady.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
But she's just, this was not, and it seemed like she ended up having that kind of, like, status.
Yeah.
Not in that kind of, like, identity.
Kind of.
But it started as, like, the opposite, though.
We'll get there.
Okay.
So she met this makeup artist who actually told her, like, you don't need these caps, you don't need these discs to, like, shape your nose. And Judy was super surprised to hear that. She was, like, really happy. So then she ended up, like, keeping the makeup artist with her because she actually made her feel good. In November 16th, 1935, so she's 13, jeez. Her father is hospitalized with meningitis and dies at age 49.
No.
It's a heart bonk.
It is a heart bonk. And then her career really began to pick up. Then I won't go into details because it was a lot of like film after film after film. She said her and her co-stars were constantly prescribed amphetamines to stay awake to keep pace with the filming.
Yeah.
And then given barbiturates for sleeping.
Yeah.
So just up and down, up and down.
Not surprising.
Just pump them.
Yeah. And what's interesting is because do you guys know Mickey Rooney?
Yeah.
He's like another famous actor from this era, and she was starred with him a lot. And he said that they didn't, and she was just like making up this story to blame her problems on it.
No.
But
this has been going on forever, and it still happens today.
And even if it wasn't like to him, that doesn't mean that she didn't.
He can't speak for everyone's experiences.
Especially not the ladies.
Yeah, it's a whole messed up
situation.
Sure. So she came to resent MGM for stealing her youth, which is totally understandable. And she was at a healthy weight, but the studio made her diet. And there was a story about how she ordered a regular meal and they only served her soup and lettuce.
Oh my God.
So they were like forcing her to diet.
Yeah. They're starving her.
Yeah, basically.
Like, really sad, like, wilted lettuce leaves, too. Just like two pieces. Yeah, just, like,
next to flopping. A bowl of soup.
Cold soup.
My tomato brain soup. Went to, like, the cruise ship food. Like, when we were all sick.
That night when, like, the motions... It was, like, day two of our cruise. The first one, we were fine. Totally good.
Was it? No, I feel like it was further in.
Maybe third? No, it was a couple days in. Like, we had been okay. Mm-hmm. And then it just got real tumultuous up on the water. I don't know what it was. It was like a delayed reaction.
It was like fancy night.
So it was the fancy dress-up evening. Lydia was wearing this gorgeous dress.
She still has it.
Green, nice green dress.
She still looks so good pretty. In it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, but to be, like, completely clear, like, you would be walking down the hall and you'd be tossed, like, to the sides. It was no joke, but, like, Alita started, like, gagging, and, like, I could hear the spit. You're, like, the spit, and I was like, oh no. And I was okay.
And you know when you start salivating before you throw up? Y'all know, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's like the little precursor to the
disaster. It's coming.
Yeah, it's coming. It's on its way. And I was like, oh my harbinger. God.
And then you said it.
Yeah, the harbinger, exactly.
And so then I started.
I'm going to throw up. It's on its way.
And you told me that. And then I threw up, like, on the table.
And on your dress.
On my dress. And you didn't throw up.
I didn't. I kept it down.
You baited her out. You're like, someone needs to go, and it's not going to be me.
Apparently they had to come in with like gloves and like suits to like clean it up. I told them I needed a bag and they took too long. So
that soup literally smelled like vomit though. It didn't help. Okay. There was a French onion soup on a different night. I remember that soup. It was good.
Yeah.
This was not that soup.
It was so gross. It smelled like vomit.
And dad was like, this is okay.
He like tried it. He's like, man. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So that's what I thought of.
Good times.
So wilted lettuce and disgusting vomit soup.
Yeah.
That's
all she got.
She needed constant reassurance that she was talented and attractive, and this self-doubt just follows her throughout her entire life, which is, I think is like the base of all of her issues.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I mean, this was kind of an interesting one because it's so like old school and like very like classic Hollywood, and I didn't really think about these things like when you watch, I don't know, like Singing in the Rain.
Yeah.
And then you hear about how they basically like work themselves to death. Like Gene Kelly was just sick because they work so hard.
Yeah. No like, joke.
Yeah. So then you don't think about these things.
That's not what you see. Like that's not the image that we're shown.
It's a big sham. That's how you keep them in the industry too, is you keep them insecure and then they're ready to jump at that next contract, that next thing. They never feel that independence to get out.
Yeah.
And they steal your youth and they just take it all.
It's a broken system.
I don't know. It's a shame. I hate seeing these kids get sucked in so young. Especially when it's like on some level they had like a passion for it. Like they wanted to perform. Mm. And they got to do some amazing stuff, but it's
at what cost, you know?
At what cost, but it's just like you would take someone and give them really amazing opportunities,
mm-hmm.
but then you just
ruin them.
You just abuse them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As soon as they're done, it's I don't know.
Yeah.
Psycho.
It's because you're
Hollywood.
Yeah. You're really looking at like, you know, it's a means to your own end. You know, it's like you have this goal you want to fulfill, and you're going to use people to fulfill it. It's not a good way to live your life.
And it seems in this industry, it's very much like you either do it or we're going to replace you.
Mm. Yeah.
It happens a lot in her own story, too. It's like she couldn't do it. So they just suspended her, took her out and put someone else in. And that's it. So you have to really just be like on it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So then we transition into The Wizard of Oz. She was cast in 1938. So she's 16.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually chose that blue dress with, like, the pattern on it to have a blurring effect. So she looked more like a child.
Wow.
Which I never knew. And MGM kept her busy after filming. So there was a 5-show-a-day appearance schedule they had her on.
While they're shooting?
Afterward.
So, same day.
Like, the premiering of, like, the
show? No, yeah. I think, like, after they filmed it, then they had, like, a tour. But, yeah, it was 5 things a day.
So, like, at each showing, she'd, like, stand up there and be like, really?
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, 5 a day. That's insane. She must have been constantly on the move.
And this is right after filming, too. So, there's no break. And there was a strict diet during filming, and they gave her tobacco to suppress her appetite.
Yes.
So she just wouldn't eat.
And give her a nicotine addiction.
Woo!
That's what all the cool kids have these days.
But she got her Academy Award, so, yeah.
So what's
who needs
so bad?
Sanity? Who needs a healthy body when you got your award? I feel so bad for her this whole time. Because it's like, you're a young girl. I would hope that you feel like, I mean, I would assume you feel protected or like that people are taking care of you, or you want to believe that people will take care of you. But it doesn't seem like anyone really took good care of her throughout this. She just kind of, like, even later, too, it talks about her her agents were, like, you know, those people in charge management. And they were just, like, taking money from her and mismanaging her. And she ended up with, like, almost nothing to her name because of that. So it's just fucked up. Okay, then we're going into adult stardom. There was her film Little Nellie Kelly. Which apparently was very difficult for her. It was, she had to have an accent. There was her first adult kiss, as well as her only death scene.
Wow.
So it was a lot happening for the first time. And her co-star said that the kiss was embarrassing, quote, a hillbilly with a child bride, unquote.
Wait. So is he the hillbilly?
I think he's the hillbilly.
You really came for yourself on that one, bud.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
Like, how upsetting. It's already difficult enough. She was in her teens when she began experiencing adult romances. You know, they put the word romance, but I kind of sounded like more romanticized than it should have been. It sounded just like she got into these really destructive relationships because of her status as like an actress.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and people were, you know, yeah, like she didn't really like ever. This was her claim to fame and her lifestyle. But then it was like, oh, I want to go on a date with Judy Garland.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know anything about Judy Garland. You don't care about
her. I mean, I think it was within the system.
Within the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, like, I think that was her way of growing up was through, like, and it seemed like she was with a lot of married men. Hmm. So they were, I don't know. It wasn't healthy, clearly, but like, I wonder if that was kind of her way of feeling like she was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't seem like good relationships. There was like a lot of information. I just kind of skipped through it. But in 1941, she had an abortion at the insistence of her mother.
World War II right there.
Yeah. Her mother and MGM both wanted her to get the abortion because the pregnancy wasn't approved. So I guess you had to get studio approval. Yeah.
Yeah, she can't shoot. You can't CG out that belly bump. Not yet.
Mm-mm. What's CG?
That's crazy.
Yeah, so I guess you had to like tell them ahead of time, I want to get pregnant. And they're like,
say yes.
Maybe.
Or they just can you. And that's just so sad. That was her out.
And it was
out.
Illegal back then.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they guess they have their ways. And she had a second one in 1943. So 2 years
abortion.
Later.
Mm-hmm.
With just these like with these married dudes.
Mm-hmm. It was that was why like they didn't want the scandal, so they had her get abortions.
Did it say like how did she feel about the abortions? Like did she want them? Like because. Like, ultimately, she got them.
I feel like it might have been at the point where they just, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't seem to say. Mm-hmm. I wonder.
Like, regardless, they shouldn't have forced
she was,
her.
Regardless, she was persuaded.
Yeah, it sounded like right. It was definitely, like, we are gonna.
Like, this is what's happening.
Yes.
Yeah.
She has no whether or not. Bodily autonomy.
No, the company owned her. And so they started dressing her like a woman, but she couldn't. She felt like she could never overcome that image of the girl next door. And that follows her entire life. In 1944, she has her first role as an attractive leading lady. And so, there was the makeup artist who gave her the works. They extended and reshaped her eyebrows, changed her hairline, modified her lip line, and then removed the discs and caps. So
the discs.
No more discs.
No more discs.
No more discs.
Good. That's good. But, like, everything else is changed up. So, I don't know. It's just kind of upsetting that she couldn't, like, be herself.
Yeah, she never even had, like, the opportunity to figure out what that was. Like, who she wanted to be and, like, what she wanted, how she wanted to present herself to the world. Because from such a young age, she was constantly being told how to look.
She was something to someone else. She was the character on the screen. For the actor, for the show.
It seemed very much, too, that people wanted to hold on to the Dorothy image.
Mm.
So that kind of followed her around.
I mean, it's interesting because it's like, you know, that legacy wasn't what it is today. Like, when that movie came out, people might have thought it was amazing. I don't really know too much. But
it was pretty groundbreaking.
No one knew that it was still going to be, like, a, like, pop culture staple, like...
Mm-hmm.
80 years
like
later.
It's relevant today, like
yeah
like
it
still
is
still a thing
relevant.
And her over the rainbow
somewhere for
over
sure.
The rainbow.
Like so. the image of her is like
that
present in my mind as we're talking about
it. It's just interesting because it's like at the big deal and like the proportions that her career was blown to in and of itself is like the people that were doing that to her probably didn't even realize like
the magnitude
what that name and that film in particular was going to like leave an impact. Like I don't know,
yeah,
it's just
definitely
you didn't have to do that to her.
Yeah,
she was she seemed like a plenty good enough actor that she didn't need all.
Yeah.
Oof.
So we come to her last MGM motion pictures, which is, I'm glad she got out of it. While filming in 1947, she had a nervous breakdown. I don't know what that includes, but then she was put in the hospital, or they put said private sanitarium. So I looked into it. It doesn't seem like it's psych specific. So she was just like put in the hospital. And then she finished filming, but then soon after attempted suicide. There were cuts to her wrist with broken glass. And then that put her in the psych ward for 2 weeks. And then the film, quote unquote, failed because of shooting delays. Because she like wasn't able to show up. Yeah, it's kind of frustrating because it's like there's this pattern of her going into treatment and like getting better and then coming back to filming and then just going back into really bad habits and unhealthy situations. And it's just like this up and down. So then they had a hit film, but during her next film, she was taking prescription sleeping medications, pills with morphine, and was really into alcohol, plus her migraines. This was when she was suspended and then replaced in that movie. So they were just like, couldn't handle her. So they just put someone else in.
Yeesh.
Use and abuse. Then during the suspension, she gained some weight and strength and was feeling better, which is great.
Ooh, yes.
But then she comes back for a role in Annie Get Your Gun.
Right.
Which she was nervous about because it was kind of an unglamorous part. Annie Oakley.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
And there apparently she was having some bad treatment by the director, so she just like wouldn't show up. Fair. Yeah, she just was like she shouldn't have to, because yeah, she was trying to get him fired, but no one listened to her.
Oh God. I see.
So yeah, then she just like stopped showing up.
Well, yeah, I mean, but she like she got out and was somehow feeling better in like recovery.
Yeah,
but then
came back.
Yeah,
yeah. And then during this time, she was doing electroshock therapy for depression. So she was doing treatment. And then this guy decided to be a jerk. And so she was fired and replaced. I put in parentheses, they really didn't care, did they? So she had a long hospital stay. She got off those meds, started to eat and sleep normally, and then helped with some disabled children, which seemed to give her some purpose. So she actually like was starting to feel better, felt like she was giving back to the community. But then she came back to LA. In the article, it had like heavier. Okay. And in 1949, it was just like, it's also kind of striking.
Healthier, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because I bet you she was, like, totally healthy weight.
Yeah.
Like, she's not Hollywood stick thin. And she was cast in another film, but to lose weight, she went back on the pills. But she also was, like, showing up late or, like, not even showing up. Mm. So it seemed like her mental health was kind of more on the decline now. And she was cast in another film, but just, like, didn't show up. So she was suspended and replaced. And then after this suspension, there are a lot of biographies that say there was a suicide attempt. So there was like a cut on her throat and it wasn't very deep. Like there was just a Band-Aid on it, but it sounded like they were telling people, like people of the world, that she tried to like slit her throat, like very despondently. I don't know. I can look at the article again. But at the time, the public was informed that a despondent Garland had slashed her throat. So this is a quote from her. She says, "All I could see ahead was more confusion. I wanted to black out the future as well as the past. I wanted to hurt myself and everyone who had hurt me."
A little vengeful right there.
Yeah.
Which seems warranted.
But that's this not a good place to be.
Yeah, no, not a good place at all.
Yeah.
Are there any happy moments in her life?
A little bit. It gets a little better. Okay. She leaves MGM, which is great, after 15 years of abuse. Ooh. So this is her later career section. So she was good friends with Bing Crosby. I don't know if you know.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Girl, yep. Bing.
Like a talk show host guy. And I feel like he's like Jimmy Kimmel type, like Jimmy Fallon. And so they were friends, and he knew that she was having trouble with depression and she needed money. So he would invite her on his show and she would come on. And I was like, oh, what a good friend. So she started having a comeback off of that. So she was doing like touring and concerts, and she was given a special Tony Award, which I don't know what that is. I know the Tony is for Broadway shows.
Mm.
So I wonder if it's like a more specific one. Okay. And it seemed like everyone really knew her. She was like a big name, very like public figure. So
JG.
Ooh, yeah. Her. So then she has the Hollywood comeback, where she appeared in A Star Is Born, that remake. Although apparently she had similar problems that she did at the end with MGM. And it was a very popular film, but they actually lost money because every time she just like wouldn't show up, they would lose money for that.
Oh,
day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which like...
they're like all set up and ready to go. They're like, where's Judy?
Yeah, where's she at?
We need a main.
I mean, yeah, if you don't have that like star power where your name is what's selling the movie, if you don't show up, if you miss one day,
you're
out, you're done. Because yeah, I mean, you everyone's got to be there.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's why, like, I feel for her, but also at the same time, I know for myself, it's easy to just kind of ignore things, and then it just piles up, and you feel worse and worse about it. But I think I've learned more that just communication is, it's scary, but it's like much better in the long run. Mm-hmm. If you can just like at least let them know, hey, I'm not doing this, or I can't, or.
Well, it's because it's like everyone, like, you can't, the only choice you have is whether or not you deal with problems voluntarily or involuntarily.
Yeah, you have to deal
you
with
can't choose to not deal with problems. That's choosing to do it involuntarily. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It's hard, though.
It is.
Especially when you are someone who's on such a hectic schedule at times, and definitely day to day. There's, you know, somewhere you have to be, something you have to do. I mean, lots of people experience that. But I think there's a stress with being a leading actress that, like, maybe she didn't want everyone looking at her
one
day of the week.
Yeah,
you know, the spotlight is not what they make it out to be.
It really doesn't seem fun. Like, the more I hear about it, it doesn't sound good.
No, because, you know, yeah.
Time called it just that movie,
the remake,
A Star Is Born remake, just about the greatest one woman show in modern movie history.
I wonder what they said about Lady Gaga.
We should look that up. But if it's the same quote, oh my god. Then so she won the Golden Globe for Best Actress in a Musical.
Amazing.
Was in a few films after that, and so then she goes into TV concerts, Carnegie Hall. TV, concerts, Carnegie Hall.
Makes sense.
She started doing television specials, performances at Vegas, which went really well, apparently.
Wow.
But in 1959, she was hospitalized with acute hepatitis.
Oh, and wasn't that what her dad died from?
Meningitis.
Ah, shoot.
Which hepatitis?
I don't know. All of them.
Oh, my.
The bad one.
Yeah, the bad ones.
B.
Which I'm now immune from. Yay. She was released in a weak condition and told she had 5 years to live at the most.
Whoa.
Yeah.
How old is she?
1959,
22, 37. Whoa.
37.
Dead by 43.
But she was super relieved, which is heartbreaking.
She is.
Because she felt like the pressure was off for like the first time in her life.
Oh my god.
That's heavy shit right there.
And like, it sucks because I feel like she all she knew was that life. And so, like, after this, she recovers and then goes back to the stage. Mm-hmm. So it didn't seem like she had another purpose in her life that she could, that she knew. It was kind of like, I act and I perform or nothing.
She doesn't get married at all, does she?
Oh, no, she does. Okay. Lots of times.
Oh!
That's why I've been, like, skipping. That's why I, like, skipped her romances. But she, let me see.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's, like, a mistress. And then she marries David Rose Vincent Minnelli, Sydney Luft, Mark Heron, and Mickey Deans.
Mickey Deans.
And she has three kids.
Nice.
But I kind of just like kept that out because it seemed like a lot of gossip that wasn't totally relevant. But it seemed like a lot of drama.
So, did she raise the kids?
I don't think the article specified.
Mm. Okay.
I assumed she didn't have a lot of time for them, but I don't know. It seemed like she was, like, either dealing with her mental health or she was, or I don't know if dealing is the right word, but she was being treated or she was touring around and doing filming or...
Yeah.
I don't know, though. Mm-hmm. I think one of her daughters, Lorna Luft, I believe, is more outspoken about her experience with having her mom as Judy Garland. But I didn't really look into it.
Yeah.
So.
For sure.
Okay. She goes back to stage. She started an autobiography but never finished it. But then she also had a concert appearance at Carnegie Hall, and it was said to be the greatest night in show business history.
Whoa.
She's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And they loved her.
Woo.
After that, she starts The Judy Garland Show, which
Ooh.
Aired in 1962.
I did not know.
So, yeah, me
so she's 40.
How
yeah,
many
still kicking
seasons
it strong.
Did they get running?
One.
Only one.
It was canceled.
Then it was canceled. But it was nominated for 4 Emmys. So people loved it. I don't know why.
It didn't win one.
What kind of
I don't think so.
Like show was it?
Like a sitcom?
Let me look.
A little talk show of her own.
Yeah, it like featured guests.
Hmm.
So I think it was Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin.
Ooh, okay. There are a couple of prominent figures from that time as well.
Mm-hmm. It seemed like, looked like it was just having guests on. So I wonder if it's kind of also like a Jimmy Fallon type night show thing. And it was a weekly show, which she didn't want to do, but she ended up doing. And during this time, she really needed money.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I realized that was also a reason she kind of kept coming back to the stage.
Oh, yeah.
Because she needed to make that dough. Okay, this was interesting. I just have like a little section on her politics. She was a Democrat and supported the civil rights movement and other causes. She was a close friend of JFK and his wife, and I guess they like had a resort, not a resort, but like a vacation area. And there was like a house she always stayed at. So they like called it the Judy Garland House.
Aww.
So like she would go out with them. And Judy called JFK weekly, which I was like,
Hopefully. He was a little.
He was. Is he the one with Marilyn Monroe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Allegedly.
Yeah. When she was singing happy birthday.
Oh my God. Yeah. All airily. All
yeah.
Mr. President. Jackie's there.
Poor lady. Like, oh. Felt fresh. I think they have the video.
They have the audio.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think so. I feel like I've seen it.
Yeah. But I thought this was sweet. She ended the call singing like the first bits of Over the Rainbow. Mm-hmm. And then there was a bombing of an African-American church. I didn't write down the details. At the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Mm. that 4 young African-American girls died. So they like were talking about it and asking for money to fundraise. That's cool.
Yeah.
In her final years, she divorced a couple times because her husbands were abusive.
Ew.
Yeah. And I spelled husband H-U-S-B-U-N-D.
Husband. Husband.
I knew it looked wrong. Husband. I just went with it.
It's just missing the top.
Just, yeah, yes. The little hat.
Yeah. To symbolize the balding of the old crusty men that were abusing her.
Yep. She went back to the stage after her show was canceled and had a tour in Australia that was just not good. Her first two shows went great, but then the third one started an hour late. Ooh. And then when she finally came on, people started like booing her and heckling tomatoes. Her. They thought she was drunk, and so Judy like fled the stage after 45 minutes, which is kind of a long time already anyway. But
yeah. I mean, if you're being heckled, that like a minute feels like a lifetime.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. She's yeah. already like in this really fragile state too. And then she marries and divorces her tour manager. It sounds like pretty rapidly because he was also abusive, but apparently, quote, only in self-defense.
He was self-defensively abusive.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
I put, can you believe this bullshit? And so this was where her managers had mismanaged and embezzled from her, so she had to sell her home. And then she was cast in another film, but then was treated poorly, and then she was dismissed. So I think she complained.
So these conditions are shitty. I don't like them. Okay, then leave.
Yeah, it's. I hope that things have changed, but I'm not super optimistic.
Oh, I think if anything, it's worse.
It's interesting because we live in like a different time period, and there is like a lot historically that's happened between then and now, but like the nature of the beast itself, I don't really know how much that has changed, and like if we can discern that, given that we just have this like outside perspective and we see the outside of like the film industry, but like you don't know what it's like inside it unless you're in it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Just, it's true.
Yeah. Fascinating, yeah. But kind of terrifying.
I hope that there are more alternatives now. Mm-hmm. Like, we have YouTube and...
Yeah, those kinds of things, like new media.
Yeah, so hopefully even if you were, like, in the industry, but then you're treated poorly, you can, like, talk about it, or you can leave it and do something on your own more easily now.
Yeah. No, I think so. I think there's more of a... Even though it's so hard to be recognized in an age of digital
so much
sea
information.
Of information, it's more of an opportunity. Especially if you have built a reputation for yourself, you can take that online independently very well nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But this, like, blockbuster industry is the same as it's always been. And this is the crap they were up to. Decades ago, they got all the new drugs and all the new contracts and loopholes and everything. Now, I don't know. Like, she may disagree if she was here about the nature of the business. Maybe anyone else would too. But to that outside perspective, it really looks like a poor girl who lost her dad and then got swept up into an industry that, because of her lack of a father figure in her life, just took advantage of her, toured her around, embezzled the money that she was earning, and left her with nothing.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, it's a damn shame. Yeah. And then they create this narrative where people watch Wizard of Oz or they read magazines and they're like, oh, I wish I was Judy Garland. She's so beautiful. And it's like, well, I mean, sure, but... You probably don't wish that you had to go through all of that.
Mm-hmm.
The glamour doesn't... It all it does is, like, confuse the reality of what that life is like behind the curtain.
Yeah. Yeah. It's upsetting. I think it is very interesting to kind of, like, have not just the outside perspective, but, like, the modern take on it that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah, I wonder how. Yeah. Because everything in context, but it's hard not to like get super outraged hearing about this stuff. I mean, and not that we shouldn't, but I wonder, like, looking at it contextually, how that would, because I'm just so bad at like historical, kind of keeping things in historical context. Mm-hmm. So when I think about this stuff, I kind of automatically think of it modern, in a modern way. So when I think about like, oh, okay, World War II, like women were just kind of starting to be recognized, like put in the workforce,
yeah,
and everything. But I don't know.
It's difficult to like put things in perspective because it is so like that time period that Judy was from is so drastically different from modern times in ways that like we can't even fathom, you know, like it's like you had to be there to get it.
Yeah.
There's only so much that we can understand about something that we've never like truly encountered. It's just, it's, I find it really fascinating, but it's also like difficult because it impedes our ability to have like a deeper understanding.
Yeah. Okay. By early 1969, she was in very poor health, and her cause of death, this was, oh God, I put it at the very top, June 22nd, 1969.
Ooh, right after her birthday.
Yep. She OD'd on barbiturates. Mm-hmm. It seemed unintentional. I don't know how they would know that. But it apparently it seemed to like have built up in her body over time, so it wasn't like a massive overdose at once.
Like, oh,
it was,
yeah,
it was kind of like a slow degradation. And they also believe she had an eating disorder, which contributed to her poor health. And about 20,000 people paid respects to her.
Wow,
Nice.
It's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people. At the end here, it was interesting. They had this. Kind of, Wikipedia has a very funny way of like
categorizing.
Yeah, categorizing. Mm-hmm. So at the end, I have her public image, which I get very differing or kind of like what's the word I'm looking for?
Opposing.
Yeah, like, yeah, conflicting idea or not ideas, but just of what kind of person she was.
Mm-hmm.
So she's, people said she was intense, headstrong, and volatile, which I could see also that just being like, maybe she just stuck up for herself.
Yeah.
So, but she was also known to be narcissistic and unstable. And then the public saw her as psychologically fragile and could seem neurotic in interviews, which is very, I want to, if they have like the, you know, tapes of, current interviews.
I want to look up the show.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see what they're talking about.
So. Yeah, I mean, and I'm like, I have a very clear lens on the whole thing, but it's like, I mean, that it sounds advantageous the less balanced and centered someone is. Again, the easier it might be to get them to sign off on something. Mm. And now that is not a good idea because you get this problem where, like, she's not showing up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And stuff like that, too. But it was, like, no one... It just... It seems like this... Everything, you know, she, like, had marriages and whatnot. But it seems like there wasn't a good support structure, system, network to actually... keep tabs, and that was actually genuinely concerned with her well-being. It was just like her appearance, etc.
Yeah,
it's nothing but frustrating because I like movies. I don't like the people that make most of the movies.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully, you know, she was proud of what she did, though, and she has some satisfaction in knowing that her work has survived her namesake has survived as it has. Not in a narcissistic way. But just to know that...
I mean, very impactful no matter what.
She may have been an inspiration to many ladies to come.
Yeah.
She had her kids. She had her legacy.
Okay, she was also described as... Well, she was consistently tardy and had erratic behavior. She was a grab bag of contradictions, which I kind of like that imagery.
I love that, yeah.
She was also a creature of extremes. There was that whole suffering from low self-esteem because she was called an ugly duckling. Mm. And you kind of either loved her or hated her. So it was very divisive, I guess. Yeah. And she also hated being seen as a tragic figure because it seemed like that was the public.
And they killed her in that one movie.
Yeah.
Only death scene. She must not have been happy about that then.
No. And it seemed like... oh, this is interesting. I didn't write this down, but in here, subsequent celebrities who have suffered from personal struggles with drug addiction and substance abuse have been compared to her, particularly Michael Jackson. I guess also Marilyn Monroe had behavior that was similar. So, but yeah, she has a very lasting legacy. I mean, I already have known, like, I mean, at least you know, you've heard the name before.
For sure.
So, yeah, that's what I got on Miss Frances Ethel Gum.
Excellent.
Miss Gum.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It's kind of upsetting, but...
Very upsetting. Yeah,
much.
But it's good to talk about. Yeah. And it's good to bring light to the person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I had no idea. I think with a lot of these like old actresses, I mean old as in time actresses, that like what's her face, Audrey Hepburn, I like only have images in my mind of her as a young actress, but she did like a lot with her life afterward, like a lot of humanitarian causes, and I think she was pretty old. I mean I assume she passed away by now, but she like did a lot, and I remember seeing like a picture of her old. I was like, oh shit, like she actually like...
She grew up.
Yeah, she like had a really fulfilling life.
It's like when you see the teacher at the grocery store.
Yeah.
You're like...
That's not right.
Real.
No, but yeah, it was... I mean, it's cool to like realize that these, you know, are actual people, but I guess I don't know where I was going with that.
We'll know how it's like you have this flash frame.
Yeah.
What is your lasting...
Impression.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's nice to know kind of a fuller idea, picture, story of what this person's life was like. And that, I mean, maybe she wasn't like super fun to be around, but like that's how people are sometimes. And like,
oh, yeah,
I don't know, it's just good to like remember that they're people, even if they're like famous, they still are people.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think. We can forget that pretty easily.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, thank you. I think that's a good reminder.
Yeah. I'm still really full from lunch.
Nice.
We had a really heavy.
Me too.
We got poke.
And fries.
And fries. I probably shouldn't have gotten the fries.
Oh, fish and chips, so if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I ate too much. I'm like still full. We ate like a few hours ago and I'm still really full.
I'm ready to go.
Andrew's bring good. Bring it on.
We also made our own pizza last night and it was...
That also did you in worse than me.
It did. And you're the one with the lactose intolerance.
I was surprised. No, don't get me wrong. The morning after was like this morning was not
the morning
great.
After.
Yeah.
The morning
but
after.
The night of was okay.
Yeah, oh, well, that's good. I had to take some Tums. It was not a good time.
What'd y'all have on your pizza?
Mushrooms and tomato and onion and jalapeno and cheese.
Red pepper.
And red bell pepper.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably everything.
Wow. Yeah. Sounds delicious.
I wanted to put pineapple on it, but she is not about...
I am not, because I have morals.
Half and half, you know?
I said we could leave a little section.
No, because it doesn't mix with the rest of the...
The toppings.
Like pineapple and meat go together.
What?
Pineapple only goes and meat. With meat. Pineapple and like sausage, pepperoni. What? Yeah.
He's saying it wouldn't have tasted good if he had.
Like pineapple and like mushroom and garlic would have been weird.
But pineapple and meat is good?
Yeah, pineapple and pepperoni.
That's like typical like Hawaiian.
That's the way.
Oh, I thought it was ham that they usually do.
Oh, yeah, they do ham. Yeah, they do ham. It's good.
Okay.
It's a good, because like the brightness and the sweetness of the fruit really like brings like the other side to the meat and the salt.
Well, thank you for not forcing me.
It's a great comp. Okay. Try. Don't eat pizza. It's not good for you.
But if you're going to, you can make it.
If you are.
It was good.
Eat New York style pizza.
I forgot which. I started watching the Hot Ones after you showed us that.
Yeah, that's a fantastic little YouTube series where I forget who, but this guy sits down with celebrities.
He's great. He's a really good interviewer.
Worldy.
Yeah, he interviews like celebrities or like and he eats increasingly spicier hot wings with them,
and then they answer questions.
I feel like everyone's got to have seen.
I think I'd heard about it, but I never watched it.
Hopefully,
so he's always getting promoted on the tubes.
YouTubes. I forgot. Wait, why did I bring that up? What were we talking about?
What were we talking about?
Oh, golly gee. Pizza, not good for you.
He asked, I think it was Alton, or it was funny because Gordon Ramsay was on there and he could not handle it. And he was just like, he's like, fuck you.
They couldn't handle the heat.
Yeah, like
that's so funny.
But then Alton Brown was just like tasting the hot sauce straight up and wasn't even sweating the whole time. I forgot if it was him or if it was Guy. Apparently, it's Guy Fieri. It's not Fieri. It's Fieri.
Holy crap!
It's upsetting. That's wrong. Sorry. He's saying it wrong.
It was one of those
two. Mr. Fieri is pronouncing his name wrong.
Yes.
Or three. It was one of them. And then he asked which type of pizza is the best. And then, oh no, it was like pick three. He gave three options. He's like, throw one out. And he threw out Chicago deep dish. Ooh. He's like, because it's like, he's like, it's like lasagna or something. Or he's like, it's not even pizza. Just stop. I was like, oh.
A hot take on Hot Ones.
Yep.
With a hot chef.
Maybe.
Depending.
I don't
want to think about Guy Fieri then. You know, he's got like the flames on his shirt.
Yeah,
he's got
those
frosted tips.
Those frosted tips.
He was talking about how he doesn't like remember saying things. So when people were like Flavor Town, he's like, what? He like didn't remember that he came up with that.
No. God.
I don't think I finished
gotta
that
be
episode.
Careful.
Oh, it's good. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We already did our plugs. So
we did our plugs.
Check us out on
check
all
us
the
out.
Things.
All the
that
things.
We're
find
on.
The links to the things.
Yeah. In the description.
In the descriptions on the website.
Please tell
buy
us
our stuff.
If you want anything.
Buy it.
It's all available.
You don't have
except
to.
Except for the enamel pins.
But if you
we
want
would appreciate it.
Wow. Yeah. Hit us
support
up.
Support your local
questions,
podcasters.
Comments, concerns, inquiries.
BrainSickPodcast.com at the contact tab.
Yep.
At the contact tab.
Or is it like contact at?
No, we're good.
Okay.
That's where you go.
That's where you go. That's where you find it.
Okay. Thank you for tuning
thank
in.
You.
We love you and appreciate you so much.
Mwah. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cameras.
Oh, yeah.
Steal your soul.
Oh.
Microphones, too.
Okay.
So don't use cameras. If the next time one of these nice old little couples comes up to you and she's like, could you take a picture for us, Lassie?
Where he just like deletes all their photos. I think they
No, I think he just takes a bad one.
No,
I don't,
he deletes all their photos.
I don't remember.
Dude, I was playing this VR game. I went over to my friend's house and it was just like, it was like a roller coaster, but like through like a like basically Jurassic World or Jurassic Park. Whatever.
So it's like in Roller Coaster Tycoon, like 10 years ago when you could like do the rider cam.
I never did that.
You can do the rider cam?
Yeah, you can do the rider cam.
So you look like you're the one.
Yeah, right. You ride it like a person.
That's
you
so
can ride your roller. Yeah, come on.
So that, but better because it was VR. one of the options was to hold a selfie stick and like take selfies. And I kept taking them and I was like, where do they go? Where are my pictures? And then my friend was like, it's probably not actually taking pictures. But I was like, oh my God, my selfies, my VR selfies. Like, I don't know what I was expecting. Darkness. It would be my eyes. Like, I thought I was taking pictures of like the game though. Oh. I was like, oh my God, look at this dinosaur. He's so cool. Oh my God, this T-Rex has his mouth open.
That would be good.
And like, they didn't show up.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It just felt important to share my sadness.
Tragic.
I took so many pictures. So many selfies.
How many times did you ride?
Only once, but it was very long.
It was do you feel any sensation? Or was it just kind of like, oh.
I started getting nauseous, no joke, because like I kept moving my head around too, and like with the VR set on, it's like all, heavier, and like I was like,
I would get sick.
We played another one where you go pew pew, and it was cool. It's called.
Is it like the Toy Story game?
It's called Super Hot
Disneyland.
No, not quite. You have these two. You do have two remotes in your hand.
Is that the one where like it moves when you're moving?
Yes, yeah. Yes. It's like slow motion, and then it like goes faster when you move. Like you can move quickly, but the guy's coming towards you. Like, and the like shrapnel coming towards you is like shoo, super slow. That one was fun, but like. I was sweating.
Yeah, it sounds really stressful.
Nerve-wracking. You, like, you're like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. You, like, know it's fake. It doesn't look like real people. But you're like, ah.
Because it's all.
Oh, no.
Because it's all there.
Yeah.
Like, right, you can't escape it.
It's my on face. See, the, it's in the your
thing,
ears.
The only thing that I'm interested in VR is horror video games and scary, spooky things. But I don't want to do it. I think
have you ever played, like, in like
VR? I have I would not want to do one in VR though. I could, but it would be scary. No, and uncomfortable.
It's Black
it's
Mirror.
Already scary.
But
enough.
that's definitely like a frontier.
That would be the experience.
The scariest thing that will ever be made has yet to be made, and it will be made using VR technology.
Sure. Yeah. It's the most like immersive thing that we have so far, you know?
That's
like,
so scary.
That is still.
Or like the Nathan for you.
Which
with
one?
With the haunted house.
Oh, yeah. There's, you need to watch Nathan for You. It's on Hulu. It's Comedy Central. We'll talk about it after. We should probably
we should say goodbye.
This has been good. Goodbye.